Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jenny Brooke, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. She is joined by co-host Dr. Christana and producer Mike Clark. This dynamic, sometimes crazy, sometimes funny, and always entertaining trio will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
So, Mike, have you ever drunk naked juice?
I haven't. I've seen it, though.
It's delicious.
I used to drink things it. Naked before.
Yeah. You've had juice naked.
Yes.
No, naked juice.
No.
So you're going along, you're looking at all the juices on the shelf, and there's like 15 choices, and you see naked juice, all natural. Of course, you're going to think, oh, well, that's the best choice.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because it's like acai blueberry and, you know, this mango protein shake. And I'm like, oh, I'm in a rush. I need breakfast. It's better than a donut. That sounds good.
I'm cautious already.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I bring this up is I found this, it was kind of all over the news. It was on takepart.com is where I printed this off. But this is owned by Pepsi, actually. And it says the Pepsi-owned brand Naked Juice was sued for false advertising and misleading labels.
Ooh.
Yeah, so bad. The U.S. District Court for the Central District of California, because California always calls the things, are pretty cool over there, alleged that Naked Juice couldn't call their products all natural because they contained Archer Daniels Midland's Fibrosol 2.
Say what?
Yeah. It's a soluble corn fiber that acts as a low-calorie bulking agent. Also, frugo-oligosaccharides, which is an alternative sweetener, and genetically modified soy.
Boo.
That doesn't sound natural to me.
No. Not so much.
You know, and of course, you know, they're laying the blame more on the labeling confusion that is coming down to the government, because they said there's really no guidance as to what can be called natural. So, of course, if they can get away with it, why wouldn't they do it?
Oh, you mean the branch of the government that directly gets kickbacks from Monsanto that makes genetically modified ingredients? That branch of the government?
That branch of the government.
Really?
You're not too cynical, are you?
So I guess
I guess the
take home message here is, you know, unless you know personally the person who made your product, you can't fully know what's in it.
Right.
Which is sad. Okay, so this segment is called What's in It?
I
feel like
that.
We should have like a drum roll or some type of music.
There you go. That's the best I can do right now. I don't have a drum here.
That was excellent.
What's in it? So that's what's in Naked Juice. Okay, moving forward, what's in your sunscreens? You ready?
It's funny. We just had this discussion the other day. Is it worse to get a little sunburn or put that stuff on your skin? I don't know.
That's a great question.
That's actually a really good question.
It's still out on like.
Well, we have done a show on this
level,
before,
but
too.
You have to wonder, since skin cancer has gone up significantly since the introduction of sunblock.
Which has also been when more people have been indoors in fluorescent lights, which has been known to cause skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So
really?
We actually have a whole podcast, if you remember, on sunscreens. So if you want specific information on all of that. But if we want to just kind of go over some like run-of-the-mill, you just get it at the grocery store, sunscreen. It may contain something called benzophenone or oxybenzone. You'll see that right in the label.
Most of them, I've seen that.
Which mimics estrogen. So you really want to be careful about rubbing that all over your two-year-old daughter.
Because if you remember anything that's going to create an estrogen response in your body, estrogen causes cells to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And overgrowth of cells is cancer.
Another thing you'll see on that looks similar is called octinoxate. And it's in 90% of sunscreens, and it's found to kill mouse skin cells even at low doses.
Gross.
So a lot of these can be cancer-causing.
You can't even say it.
Salicylates, okay. I seriously can't. Salicylates, homosalates, parabens, which also
wax, isn't it?
It mimics estrogen. Yes, it's a wax. And I'm going to pull this out. I have some information on this. We're going to talk about methylparaben again with a different product, but just to know, methylparaben is basically, it can be found naturally, like in blueberries, and
really?
It can be an.
I just ate like a half a pint of those.
But it also has an estrogenic effect, and the concern is that usually your body can take it in and easily, quickly excrete it through the urine. But it's also been found to be in concentrations in breast cancer tumors.
like you were just saying.
Right. So there's going to be situations where the body doesn't excrete it for whatever reason. And so
overload,
or also maybe the effect of the sun heating it, maybe it drives it in deeper. I have no idea. That's my own thought process. But there is concerns about methylparaben, and if it's applied on the skin, it can react with UVB, which can lead to increased skin aging and DNA damage. That's actually directly from Wikipedia. There you go.
Wow.
Great. So, you know, just a concern is there is. Even though methylparaben has been considered safe because supposedly our bodies can just easily excrete it, there has been suggestion your body at times may not, and it can accumulate, and the bioaccumulation can cause problems.
Mm. There are also easy alternatives to your run-of-the-mill sunblock, and cheap ones too.
Believe I use
coconut. I use coconut oil.
Straight I love that
food stuff. Grade coconut oil, and it works as a low SPF, but it's great for after sun care too, covering up, staying in the shade. And there's a lot of other oils and things that that you can get.
I use coconut oil every day.
Well, when I can
taste like a pina colada all the time.
Yummers!
I'm interested in that.
So, from what I understand, coconut oil actually will not necessarily keep you from getting a tan, but it helps prevent burn. Mm-hmm. So it tends to help you get color without going through a burn phase, which is really the concern you want to avoid.
Right? Because a tan is our body's natural way to protect us from the sun.
And boy, do we look good with it.
If you get a little bit of base color at a slow, gradual pace over, you know, the course of the summer months, it's good for you. It protects you from further sun damage.
And lastly, you'll see in sunscreens a product called avobenzine, an ingredient called avobenzine or parcel 1789, which is known potentially to cause DNA damage.
Mm.
So, you know, may not be wanting to rub that on your 2-, 3-, 4-year-old child every day.
I don't want to rub it on my 33-year-old arms.
Seriously. So. So going on with methylparabens, it's been shown that it's in a lot of cosmetic products. Especially like mascara.
Sure.
So, you know, if we're putting on, you know, this something all over our face, our cheeks, our eyes, it can easily get right in through the skin into our body. And then we're also rubbing it on our sunscreen. We go on and on. That's that bioaccumulation. So, again, using more minimal makeup products, making sure they're more natural. One way you can really get a sense of this is there's something called the Environmental Working Group Skin Deep Cosmetic Safety Database. So...
the what?
The EWG, Environmental Working Group. So if you go to if you just Google EWG and look for Environmental Working Group, they have a cosmetic safety database called Skin Deep, where they literally tell you a rating for, you put in your exact product, say of mascara, and like a 5 is like a pretty toxic product, a 0 is a small. So if you take in all your makeup and you just look at the toxicity, then you can look at brands that are a lesser toxicity. That's
so you guys don't even need to wear makeup. You look beautiful without it.
Thank you, Michael.
You've never seen me without makeup,
Mike. Can I borrow
Mike?
Some money now? So, no.
The thing about makeup is it's never really been tested. We just don't know.
Right, true.
You're so funny, Mike. Okay, Mike, do you know what's in a vaccine?
Lots of bad things, because we've done numerous shows on this.
Yeah. You know, and here's the whole thing with vaccines. You know, we're not even discussing the potential benefits of taking, say, a killed vaccine actual virus and maybe the whole concept of the vaccine. My beef is the preservatives and the junk they add to it. And then when we put multiple vaccines into our children all at once, the onslaught onto their growing immune systems can really be detrimental. Because,
very controversial.
Yeah. If, for example, there's latex rubber inside a vaccine. So if your child and you don't know it has a latex allergy, there's eggs that are put into the vaccine. If there's an egg allergy, there's human and animal cells that's taken from aborted fetal tissue, put into a vaccine. There's something called polysorbate 80, which is known to cause cancer in animals. There's ammonium sulfate. Flu vaccines have mercury. Most vaccines actually have monosodium glutamate. So if you're avoiding MSG in food, what happens, formaldehyde, what happens with vaccines is you're actually bypassing the immunological defenses and injecting it directly into the bloodstream where the body doesn't even have a chance to
break it down.
And so the potential for an adverse reaction is high. Genetically modified yeast, bacterial and viral DNA. If you start to study this, and you know, it's not like, oh, I just looked this up on the internet. No, I've actually researched this and I've asked many patients to bring in the insert in the vaccine. So for example, you're at your doctor's, like, oh, your child's, you know, at 6 months, they need this, this, this. You have the right to say, can I have those ingredient inserts? I want to be able to look and see what I'm injecting into my child
first. I guarantee 90%, maybe more, don't ask for that. They figure if a doctor's giving my child this, it's going to be okay.
And you have the right to know, because maybe the doctor hasn't even taken the time to look. And you can say, I want to wait till I have a time to look at this and take it home. And I've had many families bring them to me, and I'm seeing exactly what I'm reading to you. So there's a truth in this.
One interesting thing is you brought up, if you have a latex allergy or an egg allergy, it's kind of like, what came first, the vaccine or the egg? So if you do not have an egg allergy or a latex allergy and you say, oh, my kid's super healthy, they don't have any allergies, just wait. Because the reason I believe we're getting all of these allergies to latex, peanuts, eggs, all of these things is because they're ingredients in vaccines. And it's a food item or some other chemical being injected directly into your bloodstream and not being tagged by the liver first, which is how food should normally enter our bodies.
That's fascinating.
And so we actually create these allergies. I used to eat eggs all the time as a child, and I got the Hep B vaccine when I was a teenager. And I can't really eat eggs anymore. I can eat the egg yolk, but I can't eat the white. It's got albumin, and albumin is a filler in vaccines.
You're right. And this is what we're going to do. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about the ingredients in hot dogs and beer.
You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the Southern New Hampshire area, mention this radio show and schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny for just $47. That's a $250 value for just $47. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 673-5600. To find a chiropractor in your area, go to www.chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now back to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Okay, so when I was like 10, 12 years old, I did the whole go with your daddy to work day thing. Yeah, except
I know where this is going.
Except my dad was a USDA federal meat inspector.
He was?
Yeah, for like 40 years. So I went with dad to work, and we went to the meatpacking plant in Joslyn, Illinois, where he managed the plant. And we're walking around, and I was absolutely horrified. To the point where, and I remember so specific, I can see it in my, it's like seared into my brain. And side note, I became a vegetarian for 12 years after that. And now I only eat organic meat that's grown, that's local. Grown. I almost said grown. As if you like McDonald's where the hamburgers grow on trees.
Yeah. A petri dish.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember that moment where I'm looking at this, like from up above, like on this balcony, and I'm looking down onto this floor that's like gross stuff. And dad, like almost like he's like excited to tell me, says, hey, yeah, and guess what we do with all that? Like the little bone chips and all that little meat scraps. Guess what we do with that? I'm like, what, dad? We make hot dogs.
Oh. Ooh. No. No more weenies for me.
Yeah. So, you know, and interestingly, here I am, you know, how many years later? I want to say 20, but in fact, it's 30. I'll feed hot dogs to my kids, but believe me, I know exactly where those hot dogs came from, and they're all beef, no GMO, healthy hot. So that you can get really good hot dogs. But let's talk about the shocking anatomy of a hot dog. This was found.
Don't call it anatomy.
That's the title of the article from treehugger.com. Isn't that a great
anatomy
website? Treehugger.com.
So like there's veins in it.
So the first thing we should know, that as Americans, we consume 20 billion hot dogs a year.
Wow, that's a lot.
Isn't that a lot? And the country's most beloved tube of meat is Sara Lee's Ballpark brand. Mm. So the first thing you should know is it's mechanically separated turkey. In most hot dogs. So the article says, you know, it looks more like strawberry frosting than blended meat.
It's like the chicken McNuggets too.
Everyone's seen that picture.
And bone bits. Yeah, but the USDA defines mechanically separated poultry, or MSP, as a paste-like and batter-like poultry product produced by forcing bones with attached edible tissue through a sieve or similar device under high pressure to separate bone from the edible tissue.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Edible tissue.
So hot dogs can contain that type of mechanically separated chicken or turkey. And then there's also pork. which is similarly separating the meat from the bone and scraping and, you know, all of that. There's water. There's corn syrup. There is some beef. Again, it's mechanically separated. Salt, as you know, pretty high sodium content.
Oh, yeah.
Something called potassium lactate, basically to prohibit growth of disease on it. Sodium phosphates, flavorings, which can mean anything. Beef stock, which can contain muscle, bone, joint, connective tissue, and other scraps of the carcass. So you don't know what part of the carcass you're eating. Sodium diacetate, which comes from acetic acid. Sodium erythrobate, which, by the way, has been reported to cause dizziness, gastrointestinal issues, headaches, and sometimes kidney stones, as a side note. There's also maltodextrin, which is cooked from starch, corn, or wheat, so I'm sure it's genetically modified. Sodium nitrate, which a lot of people have sensitivities to nitrates, and it can trigger migraines, cancer.
Colorectal cancer. There's an absolute undeniable link between nitrates and colorectal cancer.
And you see it oftentimes. For some reason, we seem to have a string of teenage boys who tend to have migraines. And once I get them off hot dogs, it helps. However, I do need to tell you, it's very common in hot dogs. You'll have extractives of paprika, which is an all-natural ingredient from the paprika plant, just that I keep this balanced.
I take it back. I was craving a hot dog. Didn't I say that before the segment? And I was like,
there are
not
good
so
hot dogs
anymore.
Out there. You can buy.
There are Applegate Farms is actually one of my favorite that I've researched, and it's organic, minimal ingredient list. So,
yeah. How does Boston people want Fenway, Frank? So,
you know, and maybe that's the whole like, okay, once in a while when I go to a game or I'm in New York City and there's a hot dog stand. But if you're going to be buying, if you're going to be buying this regularly at the grocery store, please buy organic hot dogs. Know where they're from. Mike, what's one of your favorite foods?
Not hot dogs anymore, but I know where you're going with this. Yeah. It's got to be those little orange crackers.
Woohoo! Cheez-Its.
I love Cheez-Its.
So you used to love Cheez-Its too.
I know there are bad things in them. I know it. So.
Well, you can either put your earmuffs on or you can listen up and change your life today.
I'm still waiting for Kellogg to give me a slap on the wrist. But here's the thing with Cheez-Its. Here's the thing.
There's a thing, Mike.
There's a thing. We can get over the fact that it's enriched flour. I mean, everything boxed is going to have enriched flour, which basically means it's just all the nutrients are sucked out, then they put them back in chemical form. And then like a lot of crackers and cookies, there's vegetable oil in it, which is oftentimes soybean oil, which I'm, again, assuming is likely genetically modified. But they also use a preservative called TBHQ. Which really
sounds delicious.
Yeah, I can tell you the whole name if you really want to know. It's tertiary butyl hydroquinone. Never really been tested. Questionable safety. A lot of people avoid it. you know, and then there's like annatto, which is a good coloring. That's what makes it so orange. And there's skim milk and whey and salt.
So they're not as bad as a hot dog.
I have to say, they also have paprika.
Oh.
But they also have soy lecithin. So here again, we see a soy. So again, genetically modified. If you listen to the last show, it's going to cause leaky gut, split open the stomach, and sensitivity. So, you know, Cheez-Its honestly are one of those things where you have them once in a while. They're not going to really hurt you. Right. But when we first met, like literally, like I'm going to watch TV at night and I grab my Costco humongous box of Cheez-Its.
That's the thing. I can't stop when I start.
Right. You know, day in and day out.
Well, it's on purpose that you're addicted to them. They put things in there that make you addicted. So when I say I used to eat Cheetos or Cheez-Its like a crackhead before I met Dr. Jenny, it felt like that. I was like, I need my Cheez-Its. And I was trying to lose weight. So I'd only try to have 15 Cheez-Its and I'd sit there and eat like 65 Cheez-Its. And I'm like, I can't eat them for 4 days. And then I'd eat more Cheez-Its. So I get it. But once you really clean your diet up, and I'm sure you've experienced this.
Yeah.
They don't taste the same anymore.
You know,
they taste like you licked a chemistry lab.
Yeah. You're right.
Do you guys want to guess what year they were introduced?
They're old school. They are
Just guess. Mid-50s.
I'd say before that.
1921.
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah. They're old school, man.
They obviously taste good because they have stood the test of time.
Oh, they're amazing.
So I'm sure you like to drink them with beer.
Drink beer with them?
Yes.
Yes, that's a delicious way to do it.
Not drink them with beer. Eat them with beer.
I like to drink beer with hot dogs. So we'll go there.
Okay. So there's this interesting website. It's she's called the Food Babe. And, you know, you go to the site and she's like this really cute, good looking woman. And
what's
she,
it called?
The Food Babe. She's the Food Babe. And, but she does some really interesting research. I think she and I could be like soul sisters. And she recently put out an article called The Shocking Ingredients in Beer. And I want to read you a really kind of interesting paragraph she has here. She says, alcohol is metabolized by the body differently than any other calories you consume. Alcohol is one of the only substances that you consume that can permeate your digestive system and go straight into your bloodstream. It bypasses normal digestion and is absorbed into the body intact, where it goes straight to the liver.
Really?
Yes. Which is why, because you know, your liver, first of all, is a fat-burning organ. So right. If you're trying to lose weight or even just maintain your weight, but you're drinking a lot of alcohol, you're basically, your liver is trying to metabolize the alcohol first. It's not getting rid of the fat. So that's one reason we see that beer belly happen with alcohol. It makes weight loss really, really hard. And, you know, we know the basic ingredients of beer are hops, malt, and yeast. But there's a lot of other ingredients that's used to clarify, stabilize, preserve, enhance the color, enhance the flavor. So she did some research because, you know, it's not on the label. So it was a lot of phone calls.
Right, they don't list their ingredients at all.
No.
Because that's used in the manufacturing of the beer, right?
Exactly. So I'll give some actual name brands, but just to go over a quick list of ingredients here before we end is monosodium glutamate, MSG, holy smokes, propylene glycol, which is an ingredient found in antifreeze.
Gross.
Remember that one? Calcium disodium EDTA, which is made from formaldehyde, sodium cyanide, and ethylenediamine. I can't even say it. Lots of different types of sulfites and antimicrobial preservatives. And as you know, that's linked to like allergies and asthma. Natural flavors, which could be anything, she says, including a beaver's anal gland. I had to say it.
I think it's a brand.
At least it's natural.
Right. High fructose corn syrup, GMO sugars, which would be dextrose corn syrup. Caramel coloring, which is a class 3 or 4 made from ammonia, is classified as a carcinogen. So, it's a beautiful caramel color. Be careful. So then we have all the coloring. So FD&C blue number 1, that's made from petroleum, same as red 40, yellow 5, which is linked to asthma. Insect-based dyes, this carmine, this comes from insects to color the beer. Animal-based clarifiers, which is dried fish bladder.
That's not good. You guys aren't beer drinkers, though, are you?
In the summer, I do enjoy a cold, bubbly beer.
But it's not my drink of choice. What about wine, Jenny? Is there anything good? I'm really bad in wine.
They'll put sulfites in wine, but there are so many sulfite-free wines these days.
Are they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you can get.
Because that's kind of my cocktail of choice.
Yeah.
So Guinness, by the way, has high fructose corn syrup. You'll see corn syrup in Miller Lite, Coors, Corona, Foster's, Pabst Blue Ribbon, Red Stripe, dextrose in Budweiser, Bud Light, Busch Light, Michelob Ultra, corn, which is probably genetically modified, in Red Stripe, Miller's, Coors Brand, Anheuser-Busch. And then a lot of like our craft beers, which are a way better choice. But what's happening is they're being bought out by the bigger companies. So, for example, Guinness is no longer owned by the Irish. It's now owned by a large beer conglomerate called Diageo, and it's huge manufacturing in over 50 different countries.
That's what always happens when a small brand becomes popular.
Yeah, like Shock Top, Stella Artois, they're all owned by Budweiser now.
What about Sam Adams? Is that,
Sam Adams is still Sam
Adams. No, that's awesome. That's considered a craft or microbrew. It's more local. It's more natural.
Yeah.
Sierra Nevada, Heineken, Amstel Light, those all seem to be pretty clean. They're non-GMO, no artificial ingredients or preservatives.
Cool.
In general, German beers are really good. Of course, a certified organic beer, anything that's a craft or microbrew, although they are being bought up. So, for example, Blue Moon was recently acquired by Miller Coors.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah, that's right. Anheuser-Busch now has Rolling Rock and Goose Island Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, if you decide to drink it, something more local, more craft versus your mainstream beers, at least you'll protect your gut and your liver a little bit.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the alternative. So you didn't completely ruin my weekend. Jenny.
No. So if you want to go have an Applegate Farms hot dog with just 15 Cheez-Its and a Sam Adams, you're all set.
All right.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. Mention this radio show and schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny for just $47. This is a $250 value for just $47. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, call 673-5600 or check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.